Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I am, of course, wait for it, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
I'm doing all right. You know, we're going to, you know how we're doing this show. You know, we're going to talk sports and entertainment and everything else. And most importantly, you know, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk about any of these following topics and more. And we're going to, of course, talk about the NFL Hall of Fame as 8 men entered the Hall of Fame. We're going to get into that. We're also going to talk about what's going on in the baseball teams as, you know, the Mets, you know, winning streak came to an end in Florida. We'll recap that series. Of course, I'm going to talk about the Yankees series with the Red Sox and then with the Blue Jays, of course, and give a little NBA news. And, of course, as usual, you know, end the show with a little WWE news. And with that in mind, you know, before we talk about the NFL Hall of Fame, you know, we definitely got to talk about the passing, the shocking passing of, you know, Frank Gifford, you know, a giant legend, a broadcaster, you know, the list goes on, you know, we're going to definitely discuss about his passing. And, you know, the guy was a lifelong giant, and, you know, he'll sorely be missed. You know, he's, you know, he's, he was definitely the, you know, the Michael Strahan of his day, you know, a giant who had success on the football field. You know, he, obviously he won, you know, the NFL championship. Of course, Strahan won, you know, the Super Bowl, his last year. And, you know, now Frank Gifford, you know, of course, you know, the husband of Kathy Lee, which here goes another live, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Connection. So, you know, definitely, you know, Frank Gifford will definitely be missed. And I know you're a huge diehard Giant fan. So what's your thoughts on this passing?
It's a sad day for, you know, New York Giants and the football world, and the broadcasting world as well. You know, Frank Gifford, like you said, he was a giant. He was a giant for his entire career. You know, he spent 13 seasons with the Giants, made the Pro Bowl 8 times, you know, won the NFL championship back in 1956. His jersey has been retired by the Giants, and he went on to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame and went broadcasting, did a good job there on Monday Night Football, married Kathy Lee Gifford, and they had two children. And, you know, it's
Cody
a shock.
And
to, yeah, Cody and Cody and Cassidy. And, yeah, he was 84, passed away from natural causes, and, yeah, it's a sad day. My condolences go out to the Gifford family. I mean, he'll be missed. And, you know, he's one of the greatest New York Giants of all time.
I second everything you said, man. You know, rest in peace. You know, he'll definitely be missed. But his impact, you know, will live forever. And I'm sure he's going to be honored, you know, by the Giants, most likely this entire upcoming season. You know, I assume they're going to have a patch, you know, on their sleeve, you know, to honor, you know, the legacy of, you know, one of the giants among giants.
Yeah.
In New York football history. So, you know, my condolences to, you know, to Kathy Lee and, you know, their two children and who are, you know, like now adults now, but, you know, that still doesn't, you know, take away from the impact of losing your father. So, you know, my condolences, you know, go out to, you know, the entire family and friends and everybody who was, you know, directly impacted by, you know, his passing.
Yeah.
And with that in mind, yes, speaking of the NFL Hall of Fame, 8 men were entered into the Hall of Fame. And from one, you know, NFL legend to another, Junior Seau, you know, he went into the Hall of Fame posthumously, and he was inducted by his daughter Sydney. Seau, if memory serves me right, he committed suicide 3 years ago. You know, initially his daughter wasn't going. NFL wasn't gonna. The rumor is that NFL wasn't gonna allow their daughter, Seau's daughter, to speak on the behalf of her father. But cooler heads prevailed, and they allowed her to, you know, express her thoughts about her father's passing. And, you know, he rightfully went in, you know, he was a, you know, a legendary, Charger. And, it's good he went in. And of course, you know, Jerome Bettis, you know, the lifelong, Steeler, he went in. Bill Polian, Ron Wolf, Tim Brown, I mean, so many well-deserved guys, you know, went in. Charles Haley, the only man in history to play on 5 winning NFL, I mean, you know, Super Bowl champion teams.
Yeah.
I mean, the list goes on, you know. Congratulations to all the people who got inducted.
Yeah, definitely. Well deserving, especially Jerome Bettis and Junior Seau and Haley. Those were great players. Jerome Bettis thanked Ben Roethlisberger last night for saving for making the tackle in that 2006 AFC Championship when he fumbled the ball, and Roethlisberger was able to tackle the player who recovered the ball, because if he hadn't tackled him, that player would have went on and scored a touchdown, and who knows, Bettis might not have gone to the might not have gotten into the Pro Bowl Hall of Fame, you know,
Yeah.
because of that fumble. So Bettis thanked him for that, and he had a great speech. And Sydney Seau, Junior Seau's daughter, I thought she did a great job, you know, with her speech. And kudos to NFL for allowing her to, you know, represent her father, you know, in this Hall of Fame. But yeah, all in all, it was a great Hall of Fame last night.
Definitely. I mean, you know, it's always great when, team, when sports, especially, the four major teams, they honor, the guys who put their the game on the map. And, congrats to all the men who went in. And last month it was just the MLB Hall of Fame. So,
Yeah.
it's good that because, sometimes some organizations, they don't embrace the past, you know what I'm saying? They just look forward, and they don't want to give credit to the team, the players who put on the uniform. And a lot of these guys, they deal with depression and a lot of concussions and a lot of post-career injuries. And unfortunately, Junior Seau looked like he was a victim of that, and that, probably led to his, his passing, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But with that in mind, speaking of a team that always embraces, history and legacy, and the players who win championships, of course, what team I'm talking about. I'm talking about the New York Yankees.
Oh,
And
yeah.
they didn't have a good series in Toronto, being swept, against the Blue Jays. But Wednesday night was the debut of Severino. Oh, wait, that was last week, wasn't it?
No, it was this past week
Oh, was this past week?
against the Red Sox.
Felt like I talked about it already in my mind somehow. So yeah, he pitched a great game. Yeah, sure, he only went 5 innings. But he allowed 2 runs, struck out 7, and I tip my cap to Seferino. He did his thing. And I'll let what did you think about the Yankees this series, both series this week?
Well, I mean, the Yankees, they picked the wrong time to go into a drought offensively. Pitching has been okay for the most part, but you know, since the Red Sox series, you know, Yankees haven't been scoring that many runs. You know, before that, they were scoring tons of runs, even had a 20-point outbreak in one game against the Rangers. But after that Texas Rangers series, I mean, against the Red Sox and Blue Jays, you know, they haven't done much. They were fortunate enough to win the Red Sox series 2-1. But in this series, you know, this was a big series because the Blue Jays were trailing the Yankees only by about 4.5 games. And, you know, with their acquisitions and getting Price and Tulowitzki, you know, they won like, I don't know, 6 in a row. And they continue that surge into this series, you know, only in the second game they were able to score 6 runs. Other than that, they only score like two or three runs in each other game. But their pitching, man, their pitching is playing great, and right now they're rolling like Undertaker from 2001, you know. And Yankees, man, I don't know what's going on with their bats right now. They picked the wrong time to struggle, but they can't score any runs, and that led to them being swept in the Bronx this weekend by the Blue Jays. And right now the Blue Jays find themselves only 1.5 game behind the Yankees. So right now the Blue Jays are looking scary.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. I agree with everything you said, except for the Saturday game. That was the only game that they didn't pitch well. You know, they gave up. They lost 6-0. I think it was the score.
Yesterday, yeah.
Right. They got shut out back to back games. I think this was like the first time in like thousands of games or something. It was like some ridiculous.
In 1999,
number.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you
first
know,
time ever that happened. I was surprised to find that out.
yeah, I mean, history was unfortunately made, you know, for the Yankees, you know. And
Yeah.
Yankees was running away with the division, but like you said, they picked the wrong time to fall asleep with
Yeah.
the bats. So now, you know, Blue Jays with the acquisitions of Tulowitzki and Price, you know, in the rotation, you know, they're trying to make some noise in the, you know, in the AL East. And
Yeah, I mean, Yankees are lucky enough that they have a 3-game lead in a loss column against the Blue Jays. So they gotta like, their bats gotta wake up and they gotta start playing better, or else Blue Jays are gonna win this division, you know? I mean,
You're
Yankees probably have a chance to win the wild card because, you know, there's not many good wild card teams in the American League right now. You have Angels, I think maybe Astros, you know, and maybe Minnesota. But other than that, you know, it's there's not really a race for the wild card right now, but you know, they gotta win this division, you know, it's important.
you absolutely know. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean,
Yeah.
yeah, they, you know, now is the time. And similarly, switching over to the National League, the Nationals, they had a stranglehold in the division until these past couple of weeks when, you know, Sandy Alderson shook up the team and, you know, injected the, you know, the team with some, you know, key acquisitions, you know, with the call up of Michael Conforto, you know, the trades of Kelly Johnson and Juan Uribe, two veteran guys who have playoff, you know, success, especially Uribe, who won two titles with the Giants and the White Sox, you know, in 05 and then 2010 respectively,
Yep.
and then of course, you know, you got Tyler Clipper to be the setup guy, who definitely is gonna fill in the spot for Mejia, who's of course suspended, you know, for the rest of the season and next of season, you know, 462 games for being caught with steroids again. And
Yeah.
of course, the masterpiece of the of Alderson's trade, you know, extravaganza was of course acquiring Yoenis Cespedes, you know, who's, you know, he's hit well, you know, his presence alone has made the Mets team, you know, more powerful. And as a result, the Mets, they swept the Marlins, you know, the 3-game series. But then unfortunately, the Mets fell 2 out of 3 to the Rays. Friday night, Mets, for the first time in history, you know, we were just talking about the Yankees making history. Mets made history too on Friday night. That was the first time in Mets history that Mets over tied they overcame deficits. They tied the game in the 7th, 8th, 9th, took the lead in the 9th and won the game against the Rays. And yeah, that was the first time that happened. I'm trying to remember. Oh yeah, that was Matt Harvey. Matt Harvey pitched the game. He won the game. He pitched well that game. Saturday was the Grom, and no wait wait Saturday no no Saturday was actually no wait I'm trying to remember. Was Friday night Harvey?
Was that
Wait,
Friday night?
no, Harvey wasn't Friday night. I'm thinking of the I think I'm thinking of the other series. Friday night, I'm trying to think who pitched. Friday night they did hold on to the lead. They came back to win that series. Saturday was Syndergaard, who the Mets gave him a 3-0 lead in the first inning, and then Syndergaard gave it back, and unfortunately the Mets never recovered, and their 7-game winning streak came to end,
Yep.
and of course Syndergaard, you know, got the loss. They fell 5-4. And then Mets was trying to, you know, get back to their winning ways earlier today with Colon on the mound, And Cologne wasn't able to, hold on to the lead. He blew a, a 3-0 lead, and eventually the Mets, fell by the final score of 4-3. So these last two games, Mets couldn't score more than 3 runs, and as a result, Mets fell 2 out of 3 to the Rays.
Yeah, Rays, they've been also playing good lately. That's a team looking to make the playoffs as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, all three games were close games. And if my memory serves me right, I think Mets are going to play four games against the Rockies and I think the Pirates after that. So Mets are going to try to rebound and, win these series and get back to their winning ways. And shifting gears, the Knicks, a team we don't really talk about lately because other than the draft, because there's nothing really going on. But Knicks made some interesting moves in recently. They signed Sasha Vujacic, who of course he won 2 championships in L.A. with Phil Jackson as a head coach, and of course, as Derek Fisher as his teammate, and of course, the Greek Freak brother, Tensiasis, whatever you pronounce the guy,
I can't pronounce his name.
Popo, whatever you pronounce the name, he officially got signed with the Knicks. The Knicks had the rights to him, and they gave him finally gave him a 2-year deal, and then Knicks, they signed Serafin, I should say, Kim Serafin. So, they signed some guys with some, potential and had some success. And Knicks are hoping that this year, even though, Knicks aren't expected to do anything, they're hoping, shoring up the defense, with the Lopez signing. And, they're hoping that, they could be a good defensive team and hopefully add another star player in the next off season next year, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, this year, they just have to try to make the playoffs this year. They can't, can't think of a championship right now.
Oh yeah,
this team is still not a championship caliber team yet, so they just have to, try to make the playoffs again in the first round.
They literally had the worst season in franchise history. They lost, 65 games. They only won 17. They definitely – their number one goal is to at least try to be mediocre, because that season we had, man, we literally the only thing we have to show for it is Porzingis, which, I know it's summer league, it's like the equivalent of spring training. But, the guy, the way how he just talks in the interview, he knows about the pressure of playing in New York. And, he looks like he embraces it. I mean, he even said that he wanted to be in the Knicks before the Knicks even drafted him. So I think he's going to be good, I think he's going to have a good career. I think he's going to be like he kind of reminds me of Gallinari a bit, a guy, overseas who embraced the city and, played well here.
Yeah, I mean, he's looked good in this preseason.
Summer League, right? Because it's
summer
not
league.
Technically it's not preseason yet. So
yeah,
you make a little. I see your point. But yeah, I mean, hopefully he'll live up to the hype. I think he will. I think he'll be good. But we'll see what happens. And Clyde Frazier was recently saying that he doesn't think Melo is happy. And this upcoming season, because this is going to be a rebuilding season basically, and
Melo needs to step up and be a leader, man.
Yeah, this is do or die. Right. Well, I mean, they're not going to win a championship, but I'm saying they need to be at least a mediocre team who's a defensive threat. You know, they can't let people get easy layups and shots on them. They gotta be a defensive team. They gotta be a team that, you know, that a good player would want to come, because as you could clearly see, Phil Jackson and the city of New York wasn't enough to entice them. I mean, the aura and mystique of MSG, you know, because of this, you know, horrible years that Knicks have been having, you know, you didn't have any players who had any guts, for lack of better terms, to try to, you know, come to New York and try to change it, kind of like Amar Stoudemire tried to do a few years ago. Nobody had the guts. Nobody had the manhood to try to come to New York and try to embrace the city and elevate the Knicks out of the ashes of desolation. You know, the Knicks, you know, they've hit through rough times, but yeah, record wise they literally hit rock bottom. They're so low they have to look up to hell. That's how low the morale of the Knicks have been this season. So hopefully Phil Jackson will make the moves to get them to the, you know, to the promised land in a few years, hopefully.
Well, hopefully this year they'll be better.
Yeah, you can't get any worse than this year. I mean, let's just hope they play some defense, and with that, they should hopefully win at least, I don't know, maybe hopefully be at least a 500 team, but that would be a huge leap in win columns.
Yeah, it would be. Well, let's hope.
Let's see what happens. But lastly, you know, let's talk WWE. And, of course, Seth Rollins, he officially challenged John Cena, who wasn't there, you know, because of the knee injury that he suffered, you know, the broken nose Rollins gave John Cena nearly 2 weeks ago. So it's official. It's going to be title for title, Seth Rollins, WWE World Heavyweight Championship versus John Cena United States title. And it's going to be up for grabs. You know, we're going to have a show to preview what's going to happen, you know, for that upcoming event. But you know what I think is going to happen? I don't think I've heard anybody come up with this idea. But I think if John Cena wins, which, I mean, you could take that to the bank, you know. You could take that to Sheamus's Money in the Bank, that Cena will win as long as he's healthy and he can compete in the match with a broken nose, which I think he will.
Yeah.
But if he does win, this is what I think they should do. When he unifies the title, after they retire the United States title, they should change the belt. They should, if they want to make the belt look the same, fine. They could keep the belt the same, but they should add the red, white, and blue colors to the belt.
That'd be good.
To signify the unification between the World Heavyweight Championship and the United States Championship. Because if you don't add the red, white, and blue colors, I mean, I think they should just, that should be like a layup. They should easily do that, because I don't think they're going to change the belt, because they changed the belt two times in like the last couple of years. So I don't think they're going to change it again for the third time. So what they should just do is just add the red, white, and blue colors, you know, similar to the United States belt, and just superimpose it onto the current belt.
So what is it going to be called? The World USA title?
Nah, I don't think so. I think it'll just be called World Heavyweight title. I don't think they're going to – that'd be like Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Anaheim isn't – I mean, they should have just left it as California. I mean, both cities are in California. Just – the world. USA is in the world, so just leave it the world. WWE World Heavyweight title. That's it. You don't need to add US or anything to the title. So that's my thought. But let me see. What else happened? You know, it's official. The Wyatt family are going to fight Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns. Family versus family. And so far, there hasn't been any update regarding if it's going to be a four-man tag team match, or will it be like the proposed six-man tag team match. But hopefully tomorrow night on Raw, there'll be more clarity. and we'll find out if Sting will in fact, you know, join the former Shield members to battle Wyatt family, you know, the Wyatt family. But as of right now, there is no news on that. But another WWE news, Dana White, you know, the UFC champ, you know, president, he got into hot water because he said that WWE is, you know, fake, because he had a Twitter conversation with Seth Rollins. So he called, you know, he called WWE, you know, fake. You know, to paraphrase what he was saying, he called it fake, basically. So a bunch of people got offended, and, you know, a bunch of wrestlers were saying, like, you know, he should, you know, go, you know, travel in the road with them and see how, you know, how fake it is, you know, their blood, you know, how fake their blood is and injuries that they have, they suffer. So, you know, he said that, you know, he knows a lot of people in the, you know, wrestling. He didn't, you know, he stood by his words, but, you know, he wasn't trying to offend, you know, the wrestling world.
Who is this again?
Dana White. You know, the
UFC. Dana White, okay.
Yeah, UFC president.
Okay,
and of course,
yeah.
You know, he has a lot of history. You know, the UFC and, you know, WWE are very intertwined, of course, with
right.
Brock Lesnar, Ronda Rousey, who's, you know, rumored to make her debut in WWE at WrestleMania 32. And, of course, you know, Ken Shamrock. There's always been rumors, you know,
yeah,
Rousey coming to WWE because she's a huge wrestling fan. And she just recently defended her title. I mean, you know, like last week. So she's still undefeated. And
yeah.
She honored the win, you know, for, you know, her namesake, her nickname, Rowdy, you know, because, of course, Roddy Piper just passed away a few weeks ago. So,
yeah.
So, you know, there's that. You have any last words you'd like to say?
Just check out my show, iMac, every Saturdays at 11 and come back here, of course, check out Sports and Legend. Sundays at 6 or 6:30.
Right. Well, hopefully at 6 if there's nothing that unexpected happens. But, you know, of course, I want to thank you guys for listening to another episode of Sports of the Legend. You know, I can't do it without you guys. And hopefully I'll talk to you guys next week. And until then, peace.